We'll work till Jesus comes. How many of you remember the old TV series Dobie Gillis? You remember them? You remember Maynard G. Krebs and the problem he had with the word work? I think of that song every time I sing this one. I think of him, you know. Some Christians are like that word work. He just couldn't handle it, could he? He'd fall to pieces. Many Christians are like that, but that's not the purpose this morning. I am honored to be here. I appreciate so much. Now, I understand you're not having an evening service or choir practice. And I've not preached in a while. Okay. Amen. Well, no, I have written here what the Lord would have us. I prayed and asked him, so Lord, you know, it's Father's Day, and yep, it's about fathers, but it's our Heavenly Father. And I pray that you'll listen. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you know, there's more to being saved than just going to heaven. Now, that's good reason, okay? I was trying to tell somebody, explain assurance to them. I said, let me put it this way. You're going to heaven now whether you want to or not. Of course, that would never happen, but that's what salvation is all about. But there's more to salvation. I think I'm getting some feedback. I hope it's not too bothered. Okay. Yeah, it's my old voice. It is. I'm having to get used to it. Appreciate my wife being here with us. Y'all remember her in prayer. I stepped down from the pastoring. Didn't really retire, but stepped down from pastoring about a year. Well, it was a year ago, and I'm still at home. Okay, she works from home, so I've had to learn to stay out from under her feet. In August the 1st, we'll be celebrating our 56th wedding anniversary. Amen. All right. Now, if you want to, you can send me all the cards. Congratulations. She gets the sympathy cards. That's what usually happens. Okay. All right. Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 4. I love word studies. Now, there's many kinds of things, many ways that you can study the Word of God. And the book came from the mind of God. Have you ever thought about it that way? That's what inspiration is. Now, he could have had Paul had him find some golden tablets and give an angel, Gabriel could have come down and give him some spectacles, and if that was the way the Lord wanted it, fine. Or he could have just put Paul in a trance and Paul starts writing down not knowing what he's writing, you know. He could have done it that way. But he said, no, I'm just going to tell him what to write myself. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did.
That's right.
You see, so it wasn't so much dictation. Paul was created by God. God knew how Paul thought. He knew what made him happy, what made him sad. I mean, he created him. So yes, he did guide him when he wrote these books, okay? These books that we have here come from the mind of God. That's what inspiration is all about. And I've said I enjoy word studies, and this has been one, but I'd like to share it with you this morning, maybe in the form of a message or however. I've not I've not had any coffee this morning, so maybe I can get a little excited up here anyway, okay, for you. But the word Abba, A-B-B-A. Mm-hmm. Now, I love music, okay? And yes, I enjoyed the group Abba, however they pronounce their name. and everything, and enjoyed some of the songs that they sang. But we find the word three times in the scriptures in the New Testament. The first one is found that I want us to look at is here in Galatians chapter 4. And let's think about God the Father. Okay, now he's God, and sometimes it's hard for us to kind of separate. I understand that, you know. Now, there's a song years ago called Me and Jesus Got a Good Thing Going. We're friends, but, he's friend that it sticketh closer than a brother, but sometimes I think we forget who he is, you know. Kind of like a president, not being political here, but any president that you know of, you're friends with him. You grew up with him, whoever it might be and everything. And he comes to town and you go to see him. Now, how are you going to treat him? You know, pat him on the back, you know, say, hey, Don, how you doing? Hey, Obama, Joe, whatever your thing is. That's the way we forget about God sometimes, not equating the president with the Lord. You understand? Mm-hmm. We forget who God is. He is God. I think we pretty well understand that. But if you'll notice with me here, there's three kinds of spirits in these. The first one here we find in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. How about that? Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, I'm not going to turn this into a doctrinal class, but when you speak of these things, you can't help. I mean, you know, we hear so much about the Constitution now, and thank God for that. But you know, that's really our doctrine as far as the United States is concerned. So anytime we teach here out of the Word of God, it's going to be doctrine, sure, but it's going to be much, much more than that. So if you notice here, he says he redeemed them who are under the law. Now, you and I were not under the law,
that's right,
per se, like the Old Testament saints were, okay? But how were we under the law? The law was our guide, okay? We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't keep it today if we could. They didn't keep it back then.
Yeah.
They wanted to turn America into a Christian nationalist country. That ain't going to work, okay? Not to put us back under the law. God never planned it that way. But the law does say we're lost. It teaches.
Yes.
Teaches, please, that we're lost. That's what the law does. So, yes, we are under the curse of the law, if you will. Now, Paul here was talking to Galatians, who more than likely were Gentile Christians. So, no, they had not been under the law like we're not. But notice here, he says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, did you notice the pronoun change? Look at what the Bible says. To redeem them that were under the law, that we. Okay. See, Paul gets personal real quick here, and he says that we might receive the adoption of sons. We'll speak of that in a minute. And because ye are sons, in other words, we were born into God's family, God sent forth his son, the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Okay, now we've kind of lessened the term. You know, it doesn't mean the old man, you know, or anything like this. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that in just a minute. But notice here, he explains it. Read a little further. If you don't understand, read a little further. Always works. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through Christ Jesus. Oh, I could spend the rest of the afternoon just on that verse, okay? Any of you could, Brother Hooper could, or any of you that are teaching the Sunday school class. I appreciate it so much. But notice here, we were servants of sin. We were. And the Bible teaches that. Now we can put ourselves back under. Remember, he said in Romans, you know, that those to whom you obey, the servants you are to whom you obey. Right. And that's so important for we Christians. We still have that. I'm so sorry. I don't, maybe, if I got this too high. You want me higher? Oh, you asked for it. Turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, if you will. We learn that he's not our biological father. Matter of fact, he's the one who created biology. Okay? So no, but there's not a biological birth, as we find out. Do you know during then that slaves born into the family, you know, slaves, they would be lifetime slaves and things, and slaves would have children. They were not permitted to call the master Abba or father. They weren't permitted. They may have been loved just like the children were, the biological children, may I differentiate, but they were still slaves. So they weren't permitted. Paul is using that analogy here, that when we were born into God's family, we were no more considered servants, but now we are sons. That's not just a metaphor, okay? That's not just a symbolism or anything like that. We are literally, as a matter of fact, we'll see this in just a minute. He says in verse 6, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. All right, so he's more than just God the Creator or the Father of the of creation of mankind and everything, but he literally becomes our Heavenly Father. May I say respectfully, our Daddy. I say that respectfully, okay? So, you know, the word daddy is really more of an intimate term than father. Now, today, in our culture, you know, different terms mean different things to to everyone, so I'm not trying to offend anyone, but we do know that, matter of fact, when I got to be a teenager, my dad turned into Pop. I called him Pop. Everywhere I went, you know. My son wound up calling me Pop. Can you believe that? All right. Well, we don't think of God as Pop, please. But he's much more than just our Creator. Okay? He's more than just our Master. We do serve him. Okay? And that's what these verses are all about. So, if you'll notice here in verse 7, as I read, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if you and I are sons, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Through Christ. Now, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I try not to have folks to flip through the scriptures too much. Even I get carried away when our brother Harper is teaching. He's a fireball. If you've heard him before, you know what I'm talking about. I love him to death, and I appreciate him so much. But and he quotes the scriptures. That's what he needs to do. But I've had to use my phone instead of. I know where the passages are, but trying to flip to them real quick. It's a lot easier to punch. All right? King James on here. Okay, as our brother talked about. But no matter whether it's on the phone or in the book, you know, on pages or anything like that. It's still the Word of God. And notice with me, Romans chapter 8. Now, in the first passage up there in Galatians, we saw that we have the Spirit of His Son. He said, Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Now, you can't get any plainer than that, okay? If you go to the Greek says that Christ is in us. Paul said that, did he not? What is he? Christ in us, the what? Hope of glory, you see. So, yes, we do have the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But we have the Spirit of Christ.
That's right.
Okay? Don't ask me to explain it. That's what he said.
Amen.
However, notice with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, not only do we have the Spirit of His Son, but we have the Spirit of adoption. Now, many don't understand the concept behind it, and I'm not going to turn this into a doctrinal class, but notice in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is what Paul was talking about back in Galatians, being a child of God, as we say. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. When we were saved, we did not become under a taskmaster like Pharaoh or dictators or anything like that, all right? That's the idea that he's talking about here. No, what did we do? But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption is this. When Paul wrote this book, when we had our son, if we were living back then during the Roman days, and we had our son, he would become an heir. Okay, I mean he and our children. Our sons passed away, but we only had the one. So we have three daughters. I'll pray. They're all three sick at this time. So please pray for them. But nevertheless, in Roman time, being born into the family did not make you an heir. That's interesting. Later on, 12, whatever age it was in Rome, okay, there had to be an adoption ceremony. Now, it was a simple one. It had to be public, but it was a simple one. It wasn't a big, gigantic ceremony or anything like that, okay? Where the son would be declared legally to be the man's son, and then he would become heir of what the man had. When you and I were born again, we became children of God, sons of God, if you will. But not only that, we were, and as Paul uses it here, at that same moment that we were saved, we were legally adopted into God's family. In other words, we became heirs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to prove that. Just a second. Go with me, please. He says, for the Spirit, verse 16, for the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, you're talking about assurance. My goodness, the passage that we saw, this one that we saw. But he says here in verse 17, and this is probably the whole crux. And if children, and that's what we are, because he said in verse 16, we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No, we're not the cult that was around some years ago, you know, calling themselves the children of God. We are children of God by grace through faith. Now, notice in verse 17, and if children, then heirs. See, we've not had to have another anointing spirit or movement or anything to become heirs of God.
That's right.
When we were saved, we received all that. All the benefits we received when we were saved. the benefits. And we don't realize those things, and sometimes, many times, we forget them. Okay? Well, notice here. He said, we're heirs of God. Now, I wouldn't hurt my feelings if we got a check in the mail where we were heir to a millionaire or something like that. He passed away. I'd make sure, first of all, it wasn't a scam. When then found out it wasn't a scam, man, that thing would go on our checking account. Well, it probably go on her checking account. But anyway, you know, well, we're heirs of God. Let's let that sink in for a minute, okay? We're heirs of God.
Yeah.
We are His children.
Yeah.
That's why we're called strangers here, pilgrims on this earth.
That's right.
This world is not my home.
That's right.
I'm just a passing through. Yeah. Well, they don't write the old song anymore. That's for sure. At least I've not heard any. But nevertheless, we find here that we are a child of God.
Yeah.
We are heir to what He has for us. Okay? Sister Rambo sang the song, you know, just build my mansion next door to Jesus. Okay, well, we don't know where it was going to be, but she does have one, just like any of us, you see. And we have those promises. And then he says, joint heirs with Christ. Christ is our brother, not only our Lord and Savior, okay, our Master, our God, but He's our brother. We are joint heirs with Him. That's fascinating. We don't become deity, okay? We don't become gods. No. But being joint heirs with Christ, we don't need to. If you thought about it, we don't need to be gods. We don't need to be, no matter what the world teaches and the devil, you know, has these people strung out on these false doctrines, okay? No. We are the children of God. We who... Now, does that make us right and everybody else wrong? No. I'll tell you why. Does that make independent Baptists right and everybody else wrong? No. And I'll tell you why. We've looked into the book. The book says this. God's right. Everybody else is wrong.
Glory to God.
Okay? That's the key. Now, if you've never been saved, okay, we're not sticking out our chest, okay, or anything like this and say that we're better than the world and we're the only ones going. Well, we are. We're not bragging about it. No, it's because that we've become a child of God. That's why.
That's right.
By faith. You see, actually, it's by grace through faith, you see. And then I appreciate it. I was privileged to attend Tennessee Temple. And the thing that the doctrine that we had to learn down there was salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. I like that. And that's exactly what salvation is all in. Anyone can be saved. Anyone. We don't think about that much, do we? The letter carrier comes to the door. The person we see at the grocery store, okay? Maybe if you kind of get to know them a little bit, slip them a track, or even if you don't, you know? We can't stand around and talk to everybody, so it doesn't hurt to slip a track. Pray for the track. You may never, ever hear. But God wants us to get the word out, okay? That's what I've learned about prayer, okay? Now, if you do it enough in your Christian life, you're going to learn a lot about it, all right? And what we've learned is, if you ask me, say, I have a prayer request, I just need you to pray for me. I've learned to pray for that prayer request. I'm going to the one who already knows all about it anyway, you see? And God wants us to pray for one another. Remember, He said we are to love one another. We're to pray for one another. So it's not so much that we've got to know, you know, well give me some details of the prayer, you know, and everything. And then it starts getting a little what we call juicy, and, you know, people having this problems and that problems and all this. Oh, my, yeah, they do need prayer, don't they? All right. But no, praying for one another. And then, as I said, handing out tracts. Pray, just hand it to them. May I give you this? Mm-hmm. Okay? If they accept it, fine. If they don't, fine. If they open it up, throw it away. We were door knocking a couple of years ago with one of the men of the church, and it was over there in front of the church. And we were going down, and the person didn't knock. They didn't answer the door, so we left a track. And walking down the road, okay, to the next door, next two or three doors, we turned around and happened to look back, and we saw the person. She did this. She opened up the trash can, held it up, and threw it in. I did my part. And we prayed for the lady, okay? They've moved since then. I don't know what's happened or anything, but we're going to get that. Then we're going to get people who will take it home,
yeah,
run into trouble sometimes or get depressed or whatever, happen to see that track, you know, or remember what you spoke to them about, you see. That's the Word of God. The Spirit of God goes to work. That's the important thing. So he says here in verse 16, let me go on. For Spirit itself beareth with our witness. So the word adoption is the placing of a son. That it's a legal term in Roman, okay? Now today, our adoption has nothing to do. I've learned, my wife and I, we were emergency foster care when we were in Georgia. And we had kind of toyed the thought of adoption. But after we had a few of them, we changed our mind real quick. Emergency foster care, you understand, is the family's having a problem, they need somebody to put the child real quick. And that's what we were. And we enjoyed it. We got to, we'd take them to church. We let the people know that we'd take them to church. We didn't pound salvation into them, but we took them. And we learned that, but they weren't our children. Now, if I'd adopted them, you know, I learned that if I have an adopted child, may I put it simply, we can kick our other four out of the wheel, but I can't kick them out of the wheel. I've learned that. Now, anybody here knows the law, that's fine, and you correct me, but that's what I have learned, you know. But that's how important the law of adoption is. Can you only imagine what it's like with God? We are born. We are adopted. We become heirs,
yeah,
joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh my, yeah. Let's go on, okay? To the third one, please, if you will. Just about out of time, but seriously. The third one is found in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. All right. I encourage you while you're turning, when you read your Bible, read it carefully.
Amen.
If you know it by heart, that's great. Mm-hmm. But read it carefully as if you've never read it before. Because you see, many times we don't give the Spirit of God enough time to work in our heart. We'll open up our daily, nothing wrong with daily bread, please. But we'll open up our daily bread, turn to the passage, read the daily bread, close it, and go on. And the Holy Spirit hadn't even had time to talk to us, much less get our attention, you know. But when you read it, and read it carefully, I've learned to copy it. It's fascinating. Oh, my word, the things you can learn when you just take your time in the Word. Is there somebody you've ever had experience of just talking to them? You love to be a human in their presence and just talking to them. You'll be surprised. Once ever God gets your attention and you get his, may I say, the joy and the fellowship you can have. It is. Have you ever presented something? I'm sure the pastor has, maybe something that you've not seen before. And he said, wow, I didn't see that. Well, the Holy Spirit used the pastor to share that to you so you would see it. I call them goodies out of the Bible, okay? And sweets. The Word of God, oh my. It's meat, it's milk, it's bread, but it's goodies too, okay? And the Lord will show you something about that, and oh my. Like I said, I could just, since I have, I've retired, okay? I don't want to have to keep fumbling every time I explain, y'all understand. But since I've retired, my notes have grown, okay? I mean, it's fascinating how it is. But look here, Mark, look in chapter 14, verse 35. Now, we saw the Spirit of the Son that enters into our heart. We have a spirit of adoption, and we cry, Abba, Father. But notice who else in the Bible called him Abba, Father. The garden scene, Mark 14, and verse 35. And he went forward a little. He's talking to him. He's told Peter, James, and John, y'all sit here and watch. And he goes a little further and he prays. And the Bible says, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what I will. But what thou wilt. I call your attention to him using that term, Abba, Father. The Lord Jesus did. Yeah. Now, there was nothing disrespectful about that. No. You see, nothing, he didn't kneel down and pray, hey, old man, I got a problem here. I'm having some doubts. Ooh. No, Abba, Father. See, he was just much more than just his father. He was like a daddy or a daddy. Never thought about Jesus and God the Father that way until you read this verse. How close of a relationship they had. Now we know he says, I say what my father tells me to say, in paraphrase. He came down to and he did the Father's will. Everything that was done was according to his will. Everything that was done was according to scriptures as we read it and everything. But then we come across this verse here. Abba, Father. You see, the father in the Jewish family was called Abba. Now, no one heard Jesus pray this prayer because he was in the garden over there by himself. Now, did Peter, see, Peter was asleep. They say Mark copied Peter. Well, that's what the Spirit of God told him to do. I don't think so, but that's what he told him to do. You know how? Peter was asleep, was he not? Oh, wait a minute. He could have heard Jesus pray it before he fell asleep. Duh. The devil has all kind of answers, okay? No. Jesus prayed this prayer. No one heard it. How did Mark know what he said? How did Mark know what Jesus said in the garden when he's there praying? The guys are over here asleep, okay? All asleep. They were to watch. But he fell over here and he fell. And of course, you know, the other gospels, they presented a little bit more with a swap. Sweat became great drops of blood and everything. But here, he had Mark recorded. Abba, Father. And then to people who read the book of Mark, it must have been unusual to read that Jesus calling his father Abba. Well, I call my daddy that. I call my father that. Jesus called his father that. But what does it do? It demonstrates the closeness Jesus had with his father. We'll never understand because we'll never be God. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have God. And he explains, and he helps us to understand it. Okay? But the more he gives us, the more he expects of us. I love that little two-letter word in the Bible. It can get us in so much trouble. The word do. Do. In the Old Testament, he says that. About keeping his, learning his law and things like that. And keeping it or doing it. Then by the time we get to James, and I think I mentioned it here, but James has that big old theological word, that we Christians, we stumble at. It's that big old four-letter theological word, doer. That's what we're to be, doers of the Word of God. That's why I left it here. Not just for us to be saved, and then we can throw, the book away or keep it as a memorial or something like that. No, we're to live by this book. Okay? We're saved by grace through faith, but it comes from the Word of God. People aren't saved. Now, Brother Bob Leach, do y'all support Brother Bob? Bob gave testimony of winning one of the prisoners of war. This is several years ago. And it touched my heart because he later found out that prisoner called his wife sometimes afterwards, told her exactly what Bob told him to be saved, and she was saved. There wasn't no preacher around. He didn't have the Word of God in front of him. The prisoner didn't because it was on a phone. But he told him what the Bible said. Can God work through a telephone? Apparently he did, because Bob gave that testimony that prisoner's wife was saved, So we underestimate our relationship with the Father, all right? And we need to realize that when we come to the book, approach it a little bit more reverently and say, Lord, what do you have for me? I know many of you who are busy, okay, you don't have time right now like I do or anything like that. I understand it, but God knows that too. But you would be surprised if you took whatever time you do have, take it for him, and just sit there and just read it and let him. Whether you do Bible study, whether you do word studies or anything like that, or chapter studies, it all begins with reading. That's what it does. And we need to pray for our young people, of the youth of our nation, that's for sure. Take away the reading part and they won't be able to read the Word of God, much less understand the King James, So we need to pray. Have much to pray for, don't we? Oh, my. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. There are things that I could share, not because of knowledge, Lord, just the things that you've